It'll be okay. It'll be worth it. I won't even remember these days.
No.
Well, I just know my time.
That's fine.
You won't even remember one. All right, I'll just think of it.
Maybe she can figure it out.
Oh. catch songs this morning. And always glad. I thought I heard Kermit back there. Amen. I enjoy you praising the Lord. Either that or Obi was getting a little crazy. One of those two. Where's Brother Brower? Brother, will you want to come real quick and just take a moment? And Brother Brower is our missionary to Kenya. Have you remember Brother Bowman, who came in here and preached? Now you went to Africa before Brother Bowman, or right around the same.
He was approved in '92 and us in '93, so it was the year after the Bowman.
Okay, so then they went to Kenya. Then Kenya had some problems. They went to Tanzania, and then it was the other way around. And I enjoyed having him in Sunday school because, you know, I lived in Africa as well. And this church here has been supporting him for years. And he's going to be here tonight. He's got a video he's going to show us about what God's done. And if you can tonight, you ought to come and see that, because what that is. Like, when you ever think about when you send $100 or $150 to a missionary, what that does. I mean, a church locally picked up Africa, and they called me and they said, "I'm sorry, it can't be much money. It's only $100 a month." And I stopped them right there and I said, "No, listen." I said, "You wouldn't believe what that does." Amen. Right? I mean, $100 a month pays one of our school teachers. $100 a month. You know, $100 a month would give a bush pastor the ability to be more free to pastor than to worry about what he's going to eat. I mean, $100 a month goes a long way. Then you do $100 or $100 a month or $150 a month, and you take that times 15 years or 20 years, it's a big deal. So what you have tonight, you have a board meeting, and you're going to go over your stock portfolio, and you're going to get to see what your stock's been doing in Kenya, okay? Because he's going to update us on all those years that he's been on the mission field, and he's going to preach tonight. But you come and share a little bit this morning. Go ahead.
Well, it is great to be back at the Helenwood Baptist Church. This church has always been so kind and gracious to us when we've been here. And so it's good to see many familiar faces. And so we appreciate your faithful support over these many years. This is my wife, Tammy. We do have three children, and they were all very young when we first went to the field. Our sons were 3 and 4 years old, and now they are 30 and 29. Our daughter was born in Kenya. And so this church has been very special to us, and we appreciate how faithful you have been and the impact you've made. And like your pastor said, you may think it insignificant to send $150 a month to someone, but it can make a huge impact. And where we're heading is Revelation chapter 5, where people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group are gathered together at the throne of God, worshiping God and the Lamb. That's where we're headed. This is what this is all about, is reaching people for Christ so that they will turn from their sins and turn from idolatry and become worshipers of the true and living God for His glory. And so tonight we will be showing a video, and if you're available tonight, we hope that it would really be an encouragement to you to see what the Lord has done in Kenya and Tanzania through your faithful support. So it's great to be here today, and we count it a joy to be able to worship with you this morning.
All right. Good morning, everybody. If you please stand and get you a red hymn book and turn to page 292 or 409 in the white book, and our brother deacons come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Matt, would you ask a blessing and offering, please?
Thank you. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
A melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Chosen me, your love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
I enjoyed that, both those songs. Thank you. Brother Kermit, could you do me a favor? Could you stand? I just enjoy hearing you pray. And can you stand and just go to God for us for this message that he would work in our hearts? And then just, I was sitting there thinking when she said that, that song said his blood flows in my veins. And, the only way that could happen is I had to have a blood transfusion because it wasn't originally like that. And you know what? When you hear a song like that, in reality, I don't always feel like a child of the King. Some days I feel like I'm in a foster home. but in reality, that's who I am, right? And I really enjoyed that. Brother, would you stand and ask God to help us with this message as we come before him? Amen. Thank you. If you take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you had asked me yesterday at 11 o'clock in the afternoon what I was going to preach on, I could have told you, but it wouldn't have been 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then I got a call from a pastor, from Brother Kyle, and And he said, he does a good impersonation of me. It's really weird when he does it while I'm on the phone with him. but he'll sit there and he'll say, hey, I got a question about this text. And we started talking about this text. And you know, he was just saying, hey, I just want to know what, you know, how Dave Barnhouse would look at this. And the more we got talking about it, you know, and he kept asking me, well, what do you think? And I said, I think you just changed my message on Sunday, you know, because the more I got talking about it, the more it helped me, the more I got encouraged about what we were talking about, the more I hung up that phone and said, well, that's not the way I planned it, because I was going to go another way. I enjoy just spending some time with another pastor on the phone talking about this, and I hope it helps us this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly, and we could say this for chapter 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is cometh as a thief in the night. Is that a surprise for anybody in this room? I mean, you're born and raised in a Bible Belt. You've been around religion most of your whole life. You know about the second coming of the Lord, and you know that it's going to be in a moment when you don't. That Jesus doesn't know the hour, only the Father knows the hour. That's not new to anybody in this room. We know perfectly that's going to happen. The problem is, we know that, but we don't act like that. I mean, we have knowledge of it, but the way we go about our life would indicate that we truly don't grasp that. Goes on to say, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. I was thinking about Heather. She's got 6 weeks to go, right? When it comes, there's no stopping it. One of my friends, he's one of our pastor boys from Slippery Rock. They just had their child in the kitchen. And he made sure he put online when he showed him pictures of it. He said, I want you to know we weren't trying to have it in the kitchen. The water broke, and you know, we were trying to get things together, and then all of a sudden it was apparent that we're not making it to the hospital. And then, you know, just like this verse, it comes. And when it comes, there's no stopping it. And he said, that's what the second coming is going to be like. There's not going to be any escape. It's going to usher. It's going to come on us. We're not going to realize it. We're not going to recognize it. And for us, we're going to leave this world. But also, may I tell you, at that moment, what's done is done. You can't change anything about your account that you're going to take with you. When you leave this world, you are taking one thing with you. You're going to take the account of your whole entire life from beginning to end. That follows you.
Amen.
That goes with you. It's been written down. It can't be destroyed. You know, he knows where it is, and we're going to have to face that. Goes on to say this, but ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. We don't have to suffer loss because we're not prepared, because we know it's coming. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Why? Because when you got saved, that changed. You were in darkness, but this is a beautiful way to put it. Ye are all children of light. I was born in darkness, but then I met Jesus Christ. Now, that verse only applies to you if you're saved here this morning. If you're not saved, you're still a child of darkness. If you are saved, you're a child of the light. Now, sometimes you may walk in darkness, but you're a child of the light. Isn't that a comforting thing to realize? All right, it goes on to say, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Why? Because we know these things. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, it keeps reiterating this fact that we're of a different world, we're of a different group of people. We're following a different king, a different master. We have a new life. It keeps going over that. We're not like them. We're not children of the darkness. We're children of the light. But does the world see us as the children of light? Do you feel, even though that is your title, do you feel like you're a child of the light? Or has this body gotten the best of you, like we talked about in Sunday school? For they that sleep, verse 9, for God hath not appointed to us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Aren't you glad for the constant reminder how you're going to heaven? It's because Jesus Christ died for you. Okay? Who died for you. No sugarcoat. No, I mean, flat out tells you somebody died to give you what you have. Okay? Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Lift each other up over these things. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, once you look at verse 14 through 23, which is really where I want to focus. Now, I exhort you, brethren. Now, you're going to see this is going to jump around, and it's just because he's got a lot of points here. Okay? Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. I mean, we have a command from the Bible that we're not supposed to be like the world. Why? Because we're children of the light. Amen. And listen, I know the darkness creeps in, but fight it. I know you're going to have a bad day, but fight it. I know the devil's going to get down on you, but fight it. I know you're going to lose some ground. Get back up and take it back again. All right, don't give up. Because you will forever be a child of light. That can't be taken away from you. That is eternal because Jesus Christ holds on to you. You can't lose it. And although you may not feel like that at the present, that doesn't remove who you are. And we have to warn them that are unruly because, you know, we can't walk like they're walking. We need to be reminded of that. We can't settle for that. We can't settle for the fact the world is going the opposite direction and they're falling apart because we serve somebody else. Goes on to say, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. That many times in today, the world will get the best of us, not only physically, but mentally. Support the weak. You might not be weak today, but you will be weak one day. And therefore, because one day you will spend some time in weakness, we should better support those that are weak. One day maybe your mind and your emotions are maybe intact today, but tomorrow they may not be. So we should then support those that aren't, because that could be us the next day. Okay, it goes on to say, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and we just fixed every family problem in this room, right? And we've made every work day a good day, right? We've made every trip to Walmart pleasant, okay? Every time you talk to the bank and they transfer you to somebody in the Philippines, and let me know, that's always frustrating, right? You ought to try being in Africa when you're already dealing with another language, and then the ATM doesn't give you your card back. It eats it, and you're in Africa. And then you've got to call the Philippines, and the first thing they say is, they read it, and they say, sorry for your problems. You know, I feel really bad. And I'm like, no, you don't. You're just reading that off of a piece of paper, you know? And then you just start feel it inside of you, and it goes south really quick. Well, here it says, be patient toward all men. Okay? Everybody in this room is going to fail with that next week. That's a gimme. All right? All right. See that none render evil for evil. There's a lot of homework. You understand the homework I'm mentioning here? Okay. You see that none render evil for evil. That means when somebody attacks me, I'm not supposed to attack them back. When somebody does me wrong, I'm not supposed to then return that back again. Somebody hurts me emotionally, I'm not supposed to hurt them emotionally back. I'm not supposed to take my pound of flesh. I'm not supposed to do those things. I'm not supposed to render evil for evil. Now, you understand I'm asking you to do this in a broken body, but if it were not possible, he would not put this list here. Okay? Yes, I understand the parameters you live under because I live in the same body that you live in, all right? I'm the same person you are, but these are still things that are given to us that we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to render evil for evil. So he did not render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourself and all men. Rejoice evermore. Does it only say on good days? I mean, the problem is, we'll take one bad day, we'll attach it to our life and say everything stinks. We'll take one bad moment and we'll look at a marriage and we'll say it's all bad. We'll take one bad event and we'll tie everything else in our lives around that event, and that's not what it says. It says to rejoice evermore. Okay? Not just when it goes my way, even when it doesn't go my way. Why, Brother Matt, can I rejoice evermore? Because I am a child of the light. Okay? I mean, I am going to live in heavenly places one day. My Father, who I can talk to anytime I want to talk to, loves me so much, He sent His Son to die for me. And that no matter what I face that day, I'm not allowed to, these peripheral things should not change my attitude. My attitude is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, with that, yes, I can rejoice evermore. Okay? Now, I understand. I look at this, and I'm probably going to get an F on this test as far as this homework goes, because I'm like you. I live in this body and thinking, well, this is all great for a perfect person. Okay? It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. I mean, how many can you, if you're praying without ceasing, do you understand that God has to be in the forefront of your mind constantly? And that is not the case for us. To pray without ceasing means you're constantly reminded of the presence of God, the power of God, the influence of God. If you're praying without ceasing, all of that's evident. If you're praying without ceasing, it's very difficult to sin while you're talking to God. It's very, very hard to get into the flesh when you're talking to God. But we don't pray without ceasing. Although He asks us, we don't do that. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And everything give thanks. You have a flat tire, thank the Lord. Bounce a check, thank the Lord. I didn't write it. He didn't give circumstances. Everything give thanks. Do you understand how bad days go? Okay? Do you understand how you can walk in the room and something bad happened to you, and then you take the whole room down with you? I mean, think about the arguments you have with other people. None of them are actually substantial. It can be everything from the dog to the washer not working. Whatever it is, all of a sudden, one wrong word, one offense made, one sharp comment back, and the next thing you know, the whole afternoon's gone. You're not talking to each other, or there's hard feelings. You got all that stuff going on. Why? Because we're not thankful. We don't have that attitude in our body, because if we did, we wouldn't let that take us down that road. If we were to, what this is a whole body tune-up from your head to your toe. When you look at this, this goes to every avenue and every aspect of your life. It's a workout, not just, see, here's what happens. We get comfortable because we may have big spiritual biceps, but you can't lift 10 pounds with your feet. You know, we get comfortable because, man, we got this area where we're really good at, but over here, with the one that we protect and hide from other people, we are weak. But we get comfortable thinking, well, you know, but man, I've got all of these things going, but if there's one area that's sick and one area that's broken, you're sick overall. All right, we cannot joke ourselves and hide in our accomplishments over here when we know there's areas in our life that we don't do these things. And in those areas, we are sick. And what this does is it's a whole body workout. It's not, I mean, you don't want to just get big old massive arms and the rest of you look like a toothpick. That's pretty hilarious, right? But you know, spiritually, we walk around like that all the time. Okay? It goes on to say this. And everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God. Okay? Quench not the spirit. What quenches the spirit? Your attitude, your thoughts, your morality, your anger. I mean, we can put, how many of you can say you did not quench the Holy Spirit this week? But it just says don't quench the spirit. It says quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. hold fast that which is good. Man, we let go of the things that can help us. Bible reading or church attendance, fellowship with other believers. We let go of that. We'll hold on to things that are good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Man, that just took a big old brush and painted everything in the world with it. All right? It said, Dave, you want to be healthy? Abstain from all of it. And not just evil. You know it doesn't say abstain from evil? It says if it looks bad, don't even get near it. Okay? Don't even get near it. Avoid it. Walk away from it. Go to the other side of the room. You know, do whatever you got to do. All right? But abstain from the appearance of evil. Okay? And the very God of peace, and that's a good word can we say that in our whole being, from here to here, in every aspect of your spirituality and who you are, that there is peace there? Or is there pockets that there's turmoil? See, we're happy with bits and pieces that are working right. And God doesn't want you to live with bits and pieces. He wants the whole body. He wants from head to toe to work right. He wants there to be peace in all areas, not just in one area. He wants you to have peace mentally. He wants you to have peace physically. He wants you to have peace spiritually. The power of God is not limited to a circumstance or one part of who you are. The God of the universe and the power that's available for him can touch every aspect of your life if you will let him. It can go into your toes. It can go into your fingertips. And then it can affect the whole body. And I'm telling you, we are, in the day and time that we live, we've had more tools. We don't just have, Abraham, one dispensation, that's all he knew. That's it. One dispensation. The prophets, they may have gotten two. Do you know what you have in your lap? You've got all dispensations. I mean, Abraham was working on one, maybe two. You've got all of them. You've got the finished work of God on your lap from beginning to end. In Abraham's life, the Holy Spirit indwelled certain people for certain times. The Holy Spirit indwells in every believer. You take him home with you at night. You don't have to go to a tabernacle and stand on the other side of the veil. You can walk boldly to the throne of grace. You can do that through Jesus Christ. Abraham couldn't do that. Aaron could only do that once a year. David, the king who killed Goliath, didn't have what you have. Yet today we are weak. Today the church is not healthy. We've got every tool we need to be successful in our own lives, successful in our families, successful in our church, but we walk around sick. We walk around. We can act. We can put this on. And we can promote those areas that we have it together, but unless, because listen, you know what's coming next? Here's what it says. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. And here's this word that's really important. It's the word holy. That's really important. You know, it doesn't say holy, you know, like holy, holy, holy. It means complete. It's not just part that he wants. He wants all of you. He wants to sanctify and set apart all of you. And then he mentions what parts those are. If you listen to this, he says, "In the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body." All of those areas, all of those aspects he can touch. All of those, not just part of it, your body, your soul, and your mind. He wants it set apart for him. All of those areas can be healthy in Jesus Christ. What we'll do is we'll settle for body, but a mind that's not right. And we walk around. Listen, if you can go to church and be around preaching time and time again, and I understand maybe not everybody's comfortable leaving a pew. I get that. Because it is difficult sometimes. But I promise you, even if it's on the radio or you're listening to something at home, if you don't find yourself at some point noticing something about you that's broken, you're in trouble. If you can walk out of sermon after sermon, listen to stuff on the radio, and not feel, wait a minute. You know what? We hide. We pretend. We have to be somebody. You know, I mean, most of the time, you hear people, well, how are you doing? And they all say, great. You know, but there's fear. There's people that are lonely. There's people that are sad. There's people that aren't happy. I mean, they're not, not happy. And maybe you've just learned to take your happiness and shove it in a corner, but do you understand no matter how deep you shove it, you're still not healthy? You may have a problem that has eaten your lunch, and what you've done is you just shoved it in a corner, and you put it over here, and you say, well, that's only one thing, but you're still not healthy. And you know, it might be things that you build walls around, things that you protect, because you don't want anybody to get close to it. Number one, it hurts you. Number two, you just put it over here, and you go on, and you think nobody's going to notice it. I can hide it. But the bottom line is, we're not healthy. And God says, Dave, I don't want you to live like that. Dave, I want to come in. I'm the great physician. I'll give you the whole body workout from head to toe. I can affect, I can change, I can work in every aspect of your feelings, every aspect of your thoughts, every aspect of your emotions. I can attach myself to every bit of that. I can give you health. And you be wholly sanctified, all your mind, all your body, all your spirit, it all working the way it ought to be. And the only way that you can do it is you got to come to God and you got to lay that out and say, God, please, I don't want to be satisfied with just holding it together. Which, if we're honest, that's where most of us leave, holding it together. Listen. If we got the grips, do you understand that there are broken homes in churches? Right? Families fall apart that sit in church for years. That happens. You know, people who sit in pews still end up in addiction. Do you know people who sit in pews still have self-esteem problems? I mean, there are young girls that go to church that don't feel like they're pretty enough, and they've got to, I just came back from this camp, and there's one girl, she goes to the bathroom and she throws up because she doesn't feel like she's pretty enough. That she sits in church every Sunday. Nobody else knows it. She just got enough guts to tell me. And it's because people are sick. You wouldn't notice it because she hides it. But inside, something's not right. Now she carries her Bible. But if we're honest, I mean, we can say, no, I don't have any problems. You can say, no, I'm not lonely. But in the quietness of your own mind and when you visit your own heart, you know that is not true. And you know there's some part of who you are that's not what it needs to be. And you know there's some part of your life that's not attached to God like it needs to be. You know there's some part of you that is not healthy like it needs to be. Maybe it's that anger that just keeps popping up. Maybe and we just gotten used to the fact that well, it's okay. We let our problems manage us and not us manage the problems. We let that dictate to us There are people who sit in church, they're good people, and they're not living right. They know they're doing opposite of the Word of God, but they walk out and it just never changes, and they'll say that they're saved, and it's just evident that that's going to keep building and it's going to take them down. Listen, when he says abstain from the appearance of evil, obviously he doesn't want me doing it. If he doesn't want me to even hang around it or look like I'm doing it, we can pretty much say he doesn't want me doing it. So if we're doing something that we know is contrary to the Word of God, then get to an altar and don't leave till you get it figured out. Is God a God of peace or no? Yes or no? Is God a God of peace? Give me an amen.
Amen.
All right? If God's a God of peace, then don't leave here today without that peace. If he is a God of peace and he can comfort and he can fix and he can help, then let him do it. And don't leave till he does. I mean, you go to him, you lay it out and say, God, did you realize what he tells us between verse 14 and 23? Go this week and try to do all those things. That's a pile of stuff. Do you know what it covers, Lloyd? All aspects of my Christian life. I mean, he puts it there in just a few verses. That's me from head to toe. If I lived this, would I not be a great person to be around? Would I not be husband of the year if I lived this? Would I not be, you know, I'd surpass Billy Graham if I lived this. If I lived this, I'd be the greatest friend you ever had. If I lived this, my kids would have the parent of the year. If I lived this, there'd have to be thousands of wheelbarrows in heaven bringing the stuff that didn't get burned up in the fire, because I'd actually have something to give to God if I actually lived this. Do you know if you actually lived these verses from verse 14 to verse 23, you would have peace from head to toe?
Amen.
And we don't have peace from head to toe. It's whether or not we could admit that. We can look at that, and that all sounds good, right? It sounds good to rejoice every morning, but did you do that last week? It sounds good not to render evil for evil, but did you do that last week? It sounds good to give thanks. Do you know how you give thanks for in everything? Give thanks. Do you understand the devil wants you to feel like there's no hope? The devil wants you to feel like there's no way out. The devil wants to get you at the edge of that cliff to figure out that you are hopeless. Do you know how he gets you there? When you quit being thankful. Because we gripe and we complain and we get aggravated over the dumbest thing. But when God lives inside of you and you let him into all of those areas of your life, there is a calmness and a peace that settles over you that you can't get anywhere else.
Amen.
You know? And it's real. You know? You're not carrying the burden. And you can be thankful. You can say, look, you can be in a bad mood. I'm not going to be in a bad mood. Why? Because I'm a child of the light.
Amen.
I have a home in heaven. I am forgiven. I'm sanctified. I want to be sanctified, set apart, belong to him from here to here. I don't want to just have him in this arm. Or have him in this arm, or to be good from here up. I mean, every aspect, healthy Christian, healthy doing what God wants me to do, healthy and at peace in all areas of my life. So I can say, hey, it is well with my soul. Oh, we sing that song. It's a good emotional song. But how many times do you hear that song and you walk out those doors and it is not well with your soul? Right? You took a placebo for a few minutes till you get to the last verse and then it's over. And then it's not well out there. It's just the opposite. But I'm telling you, it can be. It can be if we let him do. But you know what? It takes you going to God and first off admitting it to him. There's an area in my life where I am not a healthy Christian. I'm not, you don't have to get up here and tell everybody all your sin. I don't want you to do that. And it's not even, and listen, don't put it in sin categories. Just put it in, look at what he asked you to do, and you tell me what area you're failing in. And then you take that area to God and say, God, I mean, today, you know how many times I hear this? I'm not happy. Not from people in the world. They can get happy. Friday night comes, they can be happy till Saturday, amen, till they wake up and realize. No, I'm talking about us. Why should there be anybody in this room that's not happy when you got Jesus? And you're telling, you know what you're going to tell me? Easy for you to say. You don't live in my shoes. No, I don't, but Jesus does. He does live in your shoes, right? And he wants you to be healthy. And if you're healthy in all of these areas, if you're at peace with who you are in him, and you're letting him work in all of you, man, do you know what that would do to us? Wow. So why don't we just give him a chance? Why don't we let the great physician do what he's supposed to do? I mean, sure, Doc gets frustrated. He writes a prescription, especially if you're my mother. My mother believes in holistic stuff. And I tell you what, she really loved you the other day because you gave her flaxseed prescription, and she thought, oh, he's a real doctor because he's giving me natural remedies. Cracked me up. But my mom, I mean, I had to fight with her. I mean, she'll throw the prescription right in the trash, and she'll say, you know what we've done? Here's the thing. You can have, my wife knows me more than anybody in this room next to Jesus, right? She knows me, and there's not a secret that woman doesn't know about me. She knows what the week was like at my house. Do you know what we do? We come here, and we go to church. We forget in our mind that we live life with other people who can see us, okay? And we pretend like everything is good with me. I've had people tell me, in fact, Greg's actually said this to me. They'll say, Dave, you're just on another level. And on the phone, I think, if he only knew. Because he wants the whole body. Oh, I can pull off some good areas. I can do that. But he wants me to be sound body, soul, and spirit. And he doesn't have all of me yet. But I wonder what would take place if we took ourselves to that altar and said, God, here it is. I'm going to let you in on my deepest hurt, my biggest shortcoming, my hardest struggle. Things I don't talk about because when I do, it just hurts. And I just want you to have it. And I want you to do something with it because I can't. And I want to know what it feels like to have the God. Do you understand the God of peace means there's peace in my mind, there's peace in my body, and there's peace in my soul. I'm at rest and I'm at comfort with who I am in Christ Jesus. Not perfect, but open, acknowledging that I need help and letting him help me. It does no good to walk out that door and pretend like we don't need help. Of course we do. Like our preacher said this morning in Sunday school, you're broken. Of course you're going to need help. Because you're broken. You're under a curse. Things falling apart. Let God get in there and manage the curse because you can't do it. He does it. Now, I talked about this with Kyle. Kyle's starting a revival. We talked about this message, and I told him, I said, Kyle, you can get your church wrapped around this, going into a revival. You'll have revival. Right? You wouldn't even need Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No, you wouldn't even need that. You can just go there and praise God those days. I said, if you can get people to do this, hats off to you. But looking at this, here's what this pastor had to realize. I'm just being honest with you. I had to stop and say, Dave, there are areas that there is no peace. And I found incredible hope because I know there can be. And you just sit down with a great physician and you let him in. And you're honest with yourself and you say, God, please. He mentioned in Sunday school that whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he'll give it to you. True or false? You take that to the Lord and you ask him to help you with it. And he will help you with it. And wouldn't it be good to come back to church next week with people that are at peace? And then let's go do something for Jesus. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask the piano player to come. And I just want you to think about this before we get into the invitation. It says, the God of peace